Welcome to day 52 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland, your host, and today we are reading Leviticus chapters 24 and 25 from the Amplified Bible, beginning at Leviticus chapter 24, verse 1. And the Lord said to Moses, "Command the Israelites that they bring to you pure oil from beaten olives for the light of the golden lampstand, to cause a lamp to burn continually. Outside the veil of the testimony, between the holy and the most holy places, in the tent of meeting, Aaron shall keep it in order from evening to morning before the Lord continually. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. He shall keep the lamps in order upon the lampstand of pure gold before the Lord continually. And you shall take fine flour and bake 12 cakes with it. 2/10 of an ephah shall be in each cake of the showbread or bread of the presence. And you shall set them in 2 rows, 6 in a row, upon the table of pure gold before the Lord. You shall put pure frankincense in a bowl or spoon beside each row, that it may be with the bread as a memorial portion, an offering to be made by fire to the Lord. Every Sabbath day Aaron shall set the showbread in order before the Lord continually. It is on behalf of the Israelites an everlasting covenant. And the bread shall be for Aaron and his sons, and they shall eat it in a sacred place, for it is for Aaron a most holy portion of the offerings to the Lord made by fire, a perpetual due to the high priest. Now the son of an Israelite woman, whose father was an Egyptian, went out among the Israelites, and he and a man of Israel quarreled and strove together in the camp. The Israelite woman's son blasphemed the name of the Lord and cursed. They brought him to Moses. His mother was Shelomith, the daughter of Dibri, of the tribe of Dan. And they put him in custody until the will of the Lord might be declared to them. And the Lord said to Moses, "Bring him who has cursed out of the camp, and let all who heard him lay their hands upon his head. Then let all the congregation stone him. And you shall say to the Israelites, 'Whoever curses his God shall bear his sin. And he who blasphemes the name of the Lord, he shall surely be put to death.' And all the congregation shall certainly stone him. The stranger as well as he who was born in the land shall be put to death when he blasphemes the name of the Lord. And he who kills any man shall surely be put to death. And he who kills a beast shall make it good, beast for beast. And if a man causes a blemish or disfigurement on his neighbor, it shall be done to him as he has done, fracture for fracture, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, as he has caused a blemish or disfigurement on a man, so shall it be done to him. He who kills a beast shall replace it. He who kills a man shall be put to death. You shall have the same law for the sojourner among you as for one of your own nationality, for I am the Lord your God." Moses spoke to the Israelites, and they brought him who had cursed out of the camp and stoned him with stones. Thus the Israelites did as the Lord commanded Moses. Chapter 25. The Lord said to Moses on Mount Sinai, "Say to the Israelites, 'When you come into the land which I give you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath to the Lord. For 6 years you shall sow your field, and for 6 years you shall prune your vineyards and gather in its fruits. But in the 7th year there shall be a Sabbath of solemn rest for the land, a Sabbath to the Lord. You shall neither sow your field nor prune your vineyard. What grows of itself in your harvest you shall not reap, and the grapes on your uncultivated vine you shall not gather, for it is a year of rest to the land. And the Sabbath rest of the untilled land shall, in its increase, furnish food for you, for your male and female slaves, your hired servant, and the temporary resident who lives with you, for your domestic animals also, and for the wild beasts in your land. All its yield shall be for food. And you shall number 7 Sabbaths, or weeks of years, for you, 7 times 7 years. So the total time of the 7 weeks of years shall be 49 years. Then you shall sound abroad the loud trumpet on the 10th day of the 7th month, almost October, on the Day of Atonement. Blow the trumpet in all your land. And you shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you, and each of you shall return to his ancestral possession, which through poverty he was compelled to sell. And each of you shall return to his family, from whom he was separated in bond service. That 50th year shall be a jubilee for you. In it you shall not sow or reap and store what grows of itself, or gather the grapes of the uncultivated vines, for it is a jubilee. It shall be holy to you. You shall eat the sufficient increase of it out of the field. In this year of jubilee, each of you shall return to his ancestral property. And if you sell anything to your neighbor or buy from your neighbor, you shall not wrong one another. According to the number of years after the jubilee, you shall buy from your neighbor, and he shall sell to you according to the number of years remaining in which you may gather the crops before you must restore the property to him. If the years to the next jubilee are many, you may increase the price, and if the years remaining are few, you shall diminish the price, for the number of the crops is what he is selling to you. You shall not oppress and wrong one another, but you shall reverently fear your God, for I am the Lord your God. Therefore you shall do and give effect to my statutes and keep my ordinances and perform them, and you will dwell in the land in safety. The land shall yield its fruit. You shall eat your fill and dwell there in safety. And if you say, "What shall we eat in the 7th year if we are not to sow or gather in our increase?" Then this is my answer. I will command my special blessings on you in the 6th year, so that it shall bring forth sufficient fruit for 3 years. And you shall sow in the 8th year, but eat of the old store of produce. Until the crops of the 9th year come in, you shall eat of the old supply. The land shall not be sold into perpetual ownership, for the land is mine. You are only strangers and temporary residents with me. And in all the country you possess, you shall grant a redemption for the land in the year of Jubilee. If your brother has become poor and has sold some of his property, if any of his kin comes to redeem it, he shall be allowed to redeem what his brother has sold. And if the man has no one to redeem his property, and he himself has become more prosperous and has enough to redeem it, then let him count the years since he sold it, and restore the overpayment to the man to whom he sold it, and return to his ancestral possession. But if he is unable to redeem it, it shall remain in the buyer's possession until the year of Jubilee, when it shall be set free, and he may return to it. If a man sells a dwelling house in a fortified city, he may redeem it within a whole year after it is sold. For a full year, he may have the right of redemption. And if it is not redeemed within a full year, then the house that is in the fortified city shall be made sure, permanently and without limitations, for him who bought it throughout his generations. It shall not go free in the year of Jubilee. But the houses of the unwalled villages shall be counted with the fields of the country. They may be redeemed, and they shall go free in the year of Jubilee. Nevertheless, the cities of the Levites, the houses in the cities of their possession, the Levites may redeem at any time. But if a house is not redeemed by a Levite, the sold house in the city shall they possess shall go free in the year of Jubilee. For the houses in the Levite cities are their ancestral possession among the Israelites, but the field of unenclosed or pasture lands of their cities may not be sold. It is their perpetual possession. And if your Israelite brother has become poor and his hand wavers from poverty, sickness, or age, and he's unable to support himself, then you shall uphold, strengthen, relieve him, treating him with the courtesy and consideration that you would a stranger or a temporary resident with you without property, so that he may live along with you. Charge him no interest or portion of interest, but fear your God, so your brother may continue to live along with you. You shall not give him your money at interest, nor lend him his food at a profit. I am the Lord your God, who brought you forth out of the land of Egypt to give you the land of Canaan and to be your God. And if your brother becomes poor beside you and sells himself to you, you shall not compel him to serve as a bondman, a slave not eligible for redemption, but as a hired servant and as a temporary resident, he shall be with you. He shall serve you till the year of Jubilee. And then he shall depart from you, he and his children with him, and shall go back to his own family and return to the possession of his fathers. For the Israelites are my servants. I brought them out of the land of Egypt. They shall not be sold as bondmen. You shall not rule over him with harshness, severity, oppression, but you shall reverently fear your God. As for your bondmen and your bondmaids, whom you may have, they shall be from the nations round about you, of whom you may buy bondmen and bondmaids. Moreover, of the children of the strangers who sojourn among you, of them you may buy, and of their families that are with you, which they have begotten in your land, and they shall be your possession. And you shall make them an inheritance for your children after you, to hold for a possession. Of them shall you take your bondmen always, but over your brethren the Israelites you shall not rule one over another with harshness, severity, oppression. And if a sojourner or stranger with you becomes rich, and your Israelite brother becomes poor beside him, and sells himself to the stranger or sojourner with you, or to a member of the stranger's family, after he is sold, he may be redeemed. One of his brethren may redeem him. Either his uncle or his uncle's son may redeem him, or a near kinsman may redeem him, or if he has enough and is able, he may redeem himself. And the redeemer shall reckon with the purchaser of the servant from the year when he sold himself to the purchaser to the year of Jubilee. And the price of his release shall be adjusted according to the number of years. The time he was with his owner shall be counted as that of a hired servant. If there remain many years before the year of Jubilee, in proportion to them he must refund to the purchaser for his release the overpayment for his acquisition. And if little time remains until the year of Jubilee, he shall count it over with them, and he shall refund the proportionate amount for his release. And as a servant hired year by year shall he deal with him. He shall not rule over him with harshness, severity, oppression in your sight. Make sure of that. And if he is not redeemed during these years and by these means, then he shall go free in the year of Jubilee, he and his children with him. For to me the Israelites are servants, my servants, whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. This is the end of today's scripture reading. In today's scripture reading, we are introduced to a new concept called the Year of Jubilee. And what a beautiful concept or principle that the Lord brings when giving the people of Israel this precious year of Jubilee. The English word Jubilee comes from a Hebrew word that means trumpet or ram's horn. And we know, we heard in the reading that on the Day of Atonement, which was this announcing the start of the year of Jubilee, the ram's horn was blown. So that's an important thing to understand where that came from. So the year of Jubilee always started with the trumpeting of the blowing of the ram's horn. Now, in the year of Jubilee, there were two primary and amazing things that took place. They were all the Hebrew slaves were set free in the year of Jubilee, no longer to be in slavery, and all land was returned to its original owner or the owner's family. You could say all debt is canceled at this point. Nobody owes anything to anyone anymore because the land was sold when someone owed debts to pay the debt, and then it returned to its original owner, the family of the original owner. So it was two powerful things. Slaves were set free and debt was canceled, and the possession that was originally given to the person of land was returned to the owner. Remember that these particular admonitions were given by the Lord to Moses, telling the Israelites, when you come into the land I'm about to give you, this is what I want you to do. And that's when God gave them this law about the year of Jubilee. And the reason it was given was because once the people of Israel actually got into the promised land, Joshua is the leader that took them in, which was Moses' successor. So this was going to take place in the future. When it's talked about in Leviticus, it's speaking of the time when they would enter the promised land. Joshua divided the land among all the Israelite tribes and their families so that each and every family from each and every tribe had its own inheritance. Every adult male among them became a landowner. And then that land was given as a permanent possession that could never depart from his family. Now, the interesting thing, and I think this is such a beautiful picture, if a man became poor and had to sell part or all of his land to, say, pay debt, it could only be sold temporarily. It would always revert back to him or to his descendants if he was no longer alive at the year of Jubilee. The year of Jubilee took place once every 50 years, so usually in most people's lifetimes they would only see one year of Jubilee. So this was a powerful principle that the Lord put into place in the lives of his people Israel. The other thing that would happen, say a person became poor, unable to pay his debts, and he basically had to sell himself into slavery to work off the debt that he owed. Again, the slavery could only be temporary for one of the Israelites, because when the Day of Atonement came in the year of Jubilee, he became a free man again and was able to go back to his land and repossess his inheritance. So imagine what a beautiful provision this was for the people of Israel. All the Hebrew slaves are set free and all land returned to its original owner. All debt is thereby canceled in the year of Jubilee. What a beautiful picture. Now I want you to imagine and understand that the year of Jubilee is kind of a picture of what Christ has done for us. We see that in the historical text that we've been reading through the book of Exodus, for example, that Moses was sent as a deliverer to deliver the people out of slavery, to basically bring them into this year of Jubilee where all the Hebrew slaves are set free. And in Bible history, actually, the year that Moses did lead the people out of Egypt was a year of Jubilee. At least Bible scholars calculating it say that that was exactly occurred on a Jubilee year. And so that is a very beautiful picture. But imagine this. Moses, the great deliverer that God used to bring his people out of slavery, is a type of Christ. He's like a picture or a foreshadowing of Jesus coming to set us free from the slavery to sin and to Satan. It's a much more powerful deliverance than Moses effected. Even though that was a historical event, a true event, it was God's event. God had Moses lead this tremendous exodus out of Egypt. liberating all the Israelites from a physical slavery to the Egyptians. But imagine this, the exodus that Jesus led was even a more powerful exodus. It was a liberation from spiritual slavery to sin and to Satan. So what Jesus did was a far greater and more powerful exodus, you could say, deliverance from slavery than Moses effected. It was a greater slavery. The slavery to sin and Satan in a person's life is such bondage. And Jesus came to be our jubilee, to set us free, to give us this jubilee, this freedom from bondage, this freedom from slavery, to restore our rightful inheritance. You know, when God created Adam and Eve and he gave them, put them in the garden, and he gave them dominion over the land and over the animals and over everything. And then Satan came in and deceived them and basically stole the inheritance that was given to Adam and Eve. Jesus came as our jubilee, our deliverer, bringing us back into this jubilee period where we are delivered from bondage to sin and Satan, and we have our inheritance that God originally intended for us to have restored to us. We have dominion in the earth instead of being in bondage. So the jubilee is a powerful picture of what Christ has done for us. And that is something so precious and so beautiful. Freedom from bondage and repossession of inheritance are fulfilled in Christ. And that is a beautiful picture that we get from the book of Leviticus. God bless you and give you a victorious week.